You've got a home improvement dilemma? Give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. When you hear the auto attendant, press 1. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
And welcome back to Rosie on the House. This is the time of the show where we generally reach in and we take a look at what was the number one question y'all were asking us during the week, either at the office, by phone, or over the internet. And the question has to do with new technology this particular week. You've noticed there's been a big change in light bulbs in the last 5 years. We had the evolution of the CFL. Of course, before that, we had the halogen. And now we've got the LEDs. And they're not rated like they used to be rated. So the question is, what's the difference between a watt and a lumen? Because now as you're shopping for those new bulbs, you see things like lumens and you see things like Kelvin information, whether the light bulb is dimmable or not. Historically, you would decide what level of light you want this lamp to produce. And you would use your experience to decide if that was going to be a 20, a 40, a 60, a 80, 100, or 150 watt light incandescent bulb. The higher the wattage, the more light it would give. Well, when we quit using watts to determine the brightness of a bulb, we started using the term lumen. Okay. So now most of the packaging includes kind of a, if you buy this 325 lumen bulb, you'll be getting roughly the light of an old-fashioned 25-watt incandescent bulb. It's how much light the bulb is capable of producing. And on average, in an incandescent bulb, you get 78 lumens per watt. So where you're used to buying 25 and 50-watt bulbs, now you're going to be buying 300 and 700 lumen bulbs. But I don't want you to be mistaken that that is requiring more power. These bulbs producing those lumens can in some cases, be using a fourth or a fifth as much electricity as the old incandescent bulb. The one thing about the old incandescent bulb, what it was good at doing was producing lots of heat. It produced more heat than it produced light. And what we're getting with these new varieties of light is much less heat, and we just got to learn how to buy them. And then many of the new technologies have to get through a level of evolution where they're truly dimmable. Those of us that are used to, we would install 150 watt bulbs in everything and then just control the amount of light we want in the room or the mood we want in the room to all be dictated by wherever we set the dimmer. Many of the new technology lights require either special dimmers or a higher grade of dimmer, but in fact, and they must be rated dimmable. So we're able to light our house now, your house, a typical home, using less than half the energy it used to take if you, in fact, have done the conversion. If an incandescent bulb burns out, I would ask you to consider looking at the new technology bulbs. I think you'll be happier. I think you'll be saving money in the long run. Whereas a 100-watt bulb, we could expect to get maybe 1,000 hours out of it, maybe, depending on how many times you turned it on and off. Some of these other new evolution of bulbs are virtually lifetime, 6, 8, 10,000 hours of consumption and not generating near the heat. So just that's the one lesson that the question was, what's the difference between watts and lumens? So I felt like we needed to address that and get that out on the air.
October hit a 14-year high in home sales nationwide, lowest mortgage rate in 50 years. In Arizona, homes are selling in 12 days average at 11% over selling price, and has dropped inventory availability by 21%. So just don't get crazy out there. We all saw what happened when we got crazy 14 years ago with real estate and buying homes that were artificially overpriced.
I don't think the mortgage companies have loosened the standards up to as loose as they were back then, where you could literally buy a home on what was called stated income. They wouldn't even verify your income. If you just stated you made $150,000 a year, they would qualify you and not even verify that. Stated income.
So it has,
I bought several houses on stated income. Still got them.
The state record in Arizona for a home sale is $24.1 million, and there's a new property that got listed for $27.5 million, if sold, will be the newest, highest-selling home on record in the McDowell Mountain area in Scottsdale. But that is not the highest-priced zip code in the state. What would you think would be the highest-priced zip code in all of Arizona?
I would say 85253.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job.
Ah.
Nailed it.
Paradise Valley.
Yeah. In a new survey done by Realty Hop, they did the 100 highest, most expensive zip codes. Of course, you know, California and New York dominated it. The top 100 zip codes were dialed down to 11 states, and Arizona had one on that listing, coming in at number 52, 85253 Paradise Valley, where the median price in 2020 is $2.2 million.
Part of the reason is there's a code requirement in Paradise Valley. Your house has to be on 1 acre. So
you've got to have land size.
Yeah. So if you're buying the acre, you're starting at 750,000 to 1 million right
already.
There. Before you move your mobile home on the lot.
Well, and then you said mobile home on the lot. There's, you know, certain standards of what the housing is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm
on that as well. We've got Monty on the line in Tempe who wants to join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Welcome to the program. How may we help you?
I was wondering, I've been in my house for 50 years, and recently I called my AC man. I've been with them a couple decades, and the AC quit. So I called, they came out, and for 3 hours, he literally diagnosed and was trying to figure out why the air quit. So after 3 hours, he says, well, I don't know why it quit, but it started going again. And I said, well, I've been in this house for 50 years. I said, and that's never happened for the last 100 times, because my outage, you know, it's gone out at least 2 times every year for the last 50 years. So he wasn't able to give me an answer, and that kind of bothered me if I needed to get a new AC man.
I don't know, Monty, how old is your current air conditioning unit?
It's about 15 years.
Okay.
It's a decade and a half, and they put in the new unit, and I've been happy with them until this happened, because when they came out, Rosie, he spent 3 hours trying to figure out why it went out, and then he says to me, well, he said, the only thing I could come up with is that maybe you had an outage. And I said, well, I did. And he goes, you did? And I go, yeah. I said, if you would have asked me that in the beginning, are you telling me that you wouldn't have had to come out and get it going again? I mean, it's just a mixed up deal. It's like I can't get an answer for my question.
So this is an air conditioning unit in your home. You had a power outage. The power came back on, and your unit would not restart? Am I understanding this correctly?
Right. No, let's see. So my air conditioning, it was blowing warm. So okay. I called them up.
Okay.
All right. So they came out, but nothing was ever discussed about power outage until after 3 hours that he worked on the house. So I said to him, I said, well, I've had power outages for the last 50 years, at least two times a year. Why didn't it go out then?
You know what, Monty? I'm going to need some more information. So I'm gonna put you on hold, and I'll pick you up off air, and we'll finish visiting about this. Because for some reason, Rosie's mind hasn't got it straight yet what really went wrong.
And I don't think I'd be upset that he didn't ask.
Yeah,
a
technician generally wouldn't show up and say, have you had a power outage? That wouldn't be the first question they'd ask, that's for sure.
No,
it might come up quicker than 3 hours. But
yeah, I wouldn't be overly concerned about that part of it. And then you ask, why hasn't it happened over the, you know, in the past 50 years I've had power outages? Well, you know, when we have Bob Ross from Lightning Busters on, one of the services he has is whole home surge protectors.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to control spikes in electricity coming in, and one of those big spikes is after the power's out to recharge all those lines takes a big push of electricity. Well, maybe this surge was just bigger than any other ones in the past. You know, there's a number of different things that could cause a surge, like a transformer getting crashed into and something like that. So I wouldn't worry over that necessarily, but we'll dive into a little deeper with you, Monty.
And one of the things I'd like all the homeowners to listen is if you have a relationship with a service provider that goes back 20 years and you're not happy with a prognosis or an invoice or something, I guess my first question would be, is this a new technician? You've got a longstanding relationship with the company. No company wants to lose a good partner, a good customer. Maybe it's time to ask for a second opinion from that same company. That might be the second thing you might want to do.
We'll have a little more follow-up, and if we've got an answer by next Saturday, that'll be in the follow-up. If not, the one after that. See if we can't help identify what knocked it out. We appreciate the call. We've got one final segment here in our outdoor, one final segment coming up here at Rosie on the House.